Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about this, his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." The news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the greatest theologians last century, his name was Hans von Balthasar, one of the great theologians, and he gives us a very beautiful image of the spiritual life, and he says, if you look up at the sky, you can see stars. But every star seemed to have a different glimmer. He says, that's the way it is in heaven, in the firmament of heaven. The stars in heaven are the saints. And you're called to be one day one of those stars glimmering, shining in heaven. If you ever want to do a very worthy pursuit, get in the habit of reading the lives of the saints. Reading the lives of the saints. And all of us should have our favorite three saints. Who would be your favorite three saints? That's a good question. All the saints are different, but they have one thing in common. They're madly in love with God. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which probably most of you have read, says that the saints can help us, especially in two ways. Their power of intercession and the brilliant example of virtue that they've left us to try to emulate. So they pray for us and they teach us how to live. So today we celebrate one of the greatest popes in the Catholic Church. We've got 266 popes from the beginning, from Peter to Pope Francis. And very rarely does the Church give the honorific title of great. But today we celebrate Saint Gregory the Great. Maybe you've heard a few others, Leo the Great. But very rarely do we have, and there's one woman, Saint Gertrude the Great. This man was one of the four Western fathers of the Church. Can you mention the other three? It'd be Saint Jerome, Saint Augustine, and the teacher of Saint Augustine, Saint Ambrose. So there are four Western fathers of the Church. Theology is called patristics, the study of the fathers. This man was probably one of the most talented popes in the history of the Church, maybe with John Paul II. A lot of gifts. He was born in 540 and died in 604. He was a Roman, came from a very noble family. His father was actually the senator of Rome. So he followed in his father's footsteps and carried out his civic duties to the T. But he really felt called not so much to the lay life, but he wanted to give himself to God fully. So what he did was, he came from a very rich family. He sold his land, his property, he gave it all to the poor. As you see in the lives of many of the saints, like St. Francis, St. Catherine Drexel, St. Charles Borromeo, they were very rich, and then they gave all their money to the poor so they could dedicate themselves totally to God. And he goes from a very, very busy life, and he becomes a Benedictine monk. What a contrast. So living a life of great activity as a politician, and he enters into the monastery of the Benedictine monks in Rome. So what is he doing? He's praying, he's meditating, he's practicing penance. But as it happened, the Holy Spirit moved him out of the monastery, and the people there recognized he had so many talents that they called him to become a pope. And he was a pope for 14 years, from the year 590 to the year 604. And he would be called one of those popes that worked on reform. One of the things he did was he got rid of bad priests. He basically got rid of them. So any priests that were not teaching the proper doctrine, very firm. You say, take a hike. He wanted the priests to be holy priests, filled with the love of God and filled with knowledge. There were a lot of prisoners that were thrown in jail unjustly, and he freed them. He helped people that were suffering during the plague. He reformed the liturgy. So the liturgy we have today, that's gone through reformations, but he was instrumental in reforming the Mass, the liturgy. He was surrounded by a lot of problems from within and from without. He had the Vandals and the Lombards that were trying to sack Rome, so he had to basically defend Rome against the Lombards. And he had a great missionary spirit. He met an Angle, and he said, they look like angels. And they were from England. So he really felt that it was incumbent upon him to evangelize the English people. So who did he send? He sent Saint Boniface. Saint Boniface and a group of other Benedictine monks. When they were heading to England, they heard that the English were so fierce and that they easily would kill people that would come in the country, so they did a U-turn and returned back to Rome. We'd probably do the same thing. Then they came back to Rome, and Gregory received them and encouraged them to go back to England. So they went back to England and established the Catholic faith deeply rooted in England because of St. Gregory sending St. Boniface and the monks to England. Perhaps one of his greatest contributions was he wrote a pastoral guide for priests and bishops, which even to this very day is one of the greatest works, giving practical pastoral guides for priests and bishops. Well, I'd like to end with one of my favorite stories in the life of St. Gregory the Great, and it's this. He had a really good friend, and they made a deal. Whoever died first would pray for the other. So his good friend died before him. So he started to pray for him, and he offered 30 consecutive masses for his friend, who was a pretty holy person. 30 consecutive masses. And finally, he said to Gregory, "I'm with the Lord in heaven." I think there's a problem today in many funeral masses where sometimes you hear, "Well, he's no longer suffering. He's in a better place." How do you know? How do you know? I consider that false compassion. Do you want in your funeral mass to be unofficially canonized? Hello? I don't think so. He prayed 30 masses in a row for one of his good friends. So there's so many things that we can learn from this great Pope. Is that he was a man that was very firm in carrying out the reform of the Church. He was a man of deep prayer. He's a man that said that all should read the Bible. We're talking about 1,500 years ago. And also he was a man that had incredible gifts, civil gifts, contemplative gifts, gifts of government, gifts of writing. One of the most talented popes we've had in the Catholic Church. So let's pray for the Church. Church is going through a tough time, isn't it? Really going through a tough time. Let's pray for the Church that God would raise up great holy pastors in imitation of Saint Gregory the Great. Amen. For the prayer of the faith, you can help me, okay? In the stand to do the prayer of the faithful.